Hi, this is Holly Bailey. This recording that you're about to hear was taken from a live seminar. And I just want you to know that when I refer to a note or a point, it might help you to know that during the live seminar I was using a PowerPoint demonstration, so that's what I'm sometimes referring to. Be blessed as you listen. The seminar is called Effective Prayer, The Way to Victory. I wanted to give you some definitions first. Prayer is a spiritual communion with God, as in supplication, thanksgiving, adoration, or confession. Communion, there, is an interchange or sharing of thoughts or emotions, an intimate communication. It's not just asking God for the things we want, although thank God we're able to do that. We're allowed to do that. But it's much more a two-way fellowship with the Lord. That's what prayer really is. It's getting to know Him and hearing His heart. Should be two-way. The act of sharing or holding a common fellowship with God, fellowship between Christ and His people, fellowship with and by the Spirit of God. Prayer should be very much a two-way process. Lord reminded me of a one-way phone call I had one time where I was kind of busy doing something, and a person called who knew me. She wanted to talk. She started the conversation and just started talking, never even found out if it was an okay time or anything like that. Launched into about an hour of stuff. I did my nails, because I thought sooner or later she'll take a breath. So I let her talk. Finally, at the end of it, she said, "Well, it was really great talking to you. I got to run. Bye." And hung up the phone. And, I thought, that's how we are sometimes with the Lord. Sometimes we're like that. We talk to Him and talk to Him and talk to Him and talk to Him, and we expound on all our problems and issues as though He didn't know. But we need to learn how to hear what God is saying to us. So there, one thing the Lord has pointed out to me is that a believer, when we first come to God, if you're like me, you come because you're in trouble. You need help. Someone's buzzing here. I'm not sure what it is. We come to God because we have issues. We need help. I don't know about you, but when I came into lordship, truly the lordship of Christ, not just the handshake, which we'll talk about this later. Some people are born again, hallelujah, but they never come into the deep commitment of, Lord, you are now Lord of my life. Your decisions, that's what is going to rule in my life. And that's a whole different thing than being born again. It shouldn't be, but a lot of times it is. So when we first come to God, a lot of times our needs are very self-focused. I need this, I need that, I need that. And that's okay. God has said we can do that. Thank the Lord. But over time, when trouble comes, prayer is done as a reaction to our circumstances. We're very reactive. And that's normal. And again, it's not wrong. Where God has blessed us and He loves us enough that He wants us to come to Him when we have a circumstance. When there was a flood in my basement, I turned to God and said, help, and He helped. When our roof, we had hail on our roof, and it was just about destroyed, and God arranged a way where we got a roof for free. So thank the Lord that we can go to Him when we're in trouble. But over the years, over time, the believer should grow into a kingdom-minded believer where it's not just about our deal, not just about our need, but it's about building His kingdom and what can I do for Him, as well as getting our own needs met. So we would be concerned about God's desires and the kingdom, the needs of other people. Over time, as you pray a lot, your heart begins to change. At least I've noticed that with me. I used to be honest, I was always kind of a loner or a hermit. I'm pretty much happy alone. That's just my nature. I'm a loner. I like to be alone with the Lord. But over time, God began to change my heart as I would spend time in prayer. God began to change my heart where I truly cared about people. That had to be the Lord. It wasn't feigned. It wasn't like I'm going to pretend to care. It was like I truly began to have a love in my heart for God's people and where they're at. That is God. Praying proactively instead of just reacting to every circumstance that comes, He changes us into praying proactively, laying a foundation in prayer rather than just reacting to the situations of our life. So we actually become a person that's building or laying a foundation for the kingdom. We'll talk about this later, but some intercessors, you may have an unction that God puts on you that's like an assignment where you just care for Israel, Israel, Israel. you know, everybody says, let's pray for this, and you're like, Israel, and, you know, you may have an unction to pray for this country. You may have, I had a 10-year assignment where I was to pray for a specific church and that pastor. I'll talk about it a little more later, but it was like a 10-year assignment. And at the end of it, God said, okay, now I'm doing something else. And it was like, though, during that time, there was actually an unction on my life where I would walk into the church and I would see things through the eyes of the Lord, meaning I would see some things no one else might notice. Like, ooh, that needs to be dealt with in prayer. And it was actually an unction or an anointing to build that church in the Spirit. God showed me that our life, your life and your ministry, it's like a building that is being built in prayer. What man, Jesus said, what man among you goes to build a building and does not count the cost? Well, there's a building that is your life and ministry. There's a building that is the church. When you pray, especially when you pray by the Spirit of God, you know, in other words, and I'll go into this, but when the Spirit of God gives you something to speak, or he gives you a sense of what to pray for or how to pray, he is building something in the Spirit. And when he builds something, it lasts for eternity. You should be building according to the heavenly plan and calling of your life. In other words, as you mature in the Lord, you know, you don't pray anymore, Lord, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. You begin to say, Lord, what is it you're trying to build here? Let me undergird it in prayer. Let me build it and design it and craft it according to the heavenly plan. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship. We could almost say we are his work of art, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Another translation says, to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That means God has pre-prepared a set of good works with your name on it. But we won't know it unless we spend time in the place of prayer and in fellowship with him to learn what that is. Amen? So if you're called to a ministry of any kind, and when I say that, I mean, are you a mom? Are you a dad? Do you have a business? Those are ministries too. It doesn't have to be public ministry, but whatever ministry you are called to, it has to be birthed or created or built in the place of prayer if you really want it to be an eternal structure that's built of God that stands the test of time. Otherwise, we might build it, but it becomes like the little house that was built on sand. I remember going through a very hard time in my life. I went through eight years of darkness in my life as a believer, Spirit-filled, prayed, hallelujah. And I thought I was doing pretty good. I was a fairly strong intercessor, I thought. I mean, most of the people in my church were coming to me for help. But things began to get more and more difficult, and I found I wasn't doing so well in my trials. And one night I went forward to the altar for prayer, and I remember when they prayed for me, I remembered seeing my poor little shack that I thought was doing so good. And it had been just beaten down by the rains, and I saw this little rotten board floating out to sea. And it was like my little shack that I thought was, you know, I thought I was doing good, was I wasn't doing so good in God's eyes. And I said, oh, Lord, you know, here I'm praying, I'm reading, I'm doing all the stuff I know to do, and I'm failing, Lord. In his sight, he was showing me how he saw my little house. But then he showed me, I turned and I saw a picture of this beautiful, it was almost like a mansion. It was a large thing. It was in the Spirit, you understand, not something in the natural. And he was showing me what he wanted to build instead of what I had built. And so God is trying to build something in your life that, to be honest, it exceeds most of our knowledge. We can dream of big things in God, and believe me, I'm a dreamer. I used to dream up all kinds of stuff that I thought was God, it wasn't God. But he has a dream that is, it usually exceeds what we've even thought. And as we pray, here's what happens. As you pray, you go break into more and more levels. So, but he won't take you to level 8 if you've not properly dealt with level 1 and 2. So as you pray in, you'll pray, and you know what you'll do is like get, it's almost like a promotion or a breakthrough into the next level, and then you say, oh, I see now. I'm still learning, I'm still coming into new levels of what I'm supposed to do, which is really fun. Because here you're going along doing the work of the Lord, thinking, okay, you know, I'm just, hallelujah, this is it. And then suddenly he shows you the next thing, and you're like, oh, okay. See, he's already pre-designed those good works that you shall walk in them. After many years, even older ministers still find and break through into new levels in their calling and function. Helpers and partners in prayer are very valuable, those that believe in your calling and you believe in theirs. And sometimes God will give you someone a group of people who are like-minded in prayer, who love to pray, and that is mutually caring for one another's needs, not just those circumstances of life, but also the building of the building. Amen? So it's very important, even if you're strong in prayer, it's very important that you not always try to go it alone. Because no matter how strong you are, there will come times when you don't feel so strong. And when you have a network in place of people that you pray for one another, it's so great. Because if you're having a weak moment, you can call your friend and say, hey, help, I'm in trouble. You know, and I value intercessors so highly. I know a lot of people don't, because they don't really have a revelation of how crucial it is. But intercessors to me and prayer warriors are so crucial and valuable to the kingdom of God, because they're hidden, so they're not often recognized. And so it's really important to have a network of people that you can call and help. These people are extremely valuable. They're the hidden ones in the body quite often. The more profoundly deep an intercessor is, or there are some people that carry massively important things and they can never talk about it. Okay? There are people who are crucial to the kingdom of God. They are not being honored because no one knows it. But God pours his favor on these. There's incredible favor when you're a true intercessor and you're carrying a burden of the Lord, or you're carrying something for him. There's incredible favor in it. Okay, let's talk a little bit about structures and buildings in the Spirit. God gave me a vision one time that helped me. I was very young in the Lord. I thought I was not young in the Lord. I thought I had it together. Hallelujah. Silly me. And one of the things he showed me, because I knew I was called. You know, if you're called to do something, a lot of times you know it years before you're ever able to walk in that call, because you've got the stuff in you. You quite often, when you're born again, you've got the giftings. So you're aware that there's a gift. You're aware that something's in the works. And there's sometimes a frustration with, what is the holdup here? What is my problem that I'm not able to break into whatever this is? Now, that won't apply to everybody here, but some people, it probably does. And one of the things God showed me was a vacant lot that had been purchased in order to build a building. And he kind of zoomed in and showed me that in the land there was all this stuff, old tractor parts, stuff that had been left. There was an old shack there. There was like junk even partially buried, a big boulder partially buried. And he said, now how would it be if you just came in and knocked down the shack and put up your building? You're going to have a problem because you haven't gotten rid of the junk. And so he led me on a 3-year journey to just extract the junk. Hallelujah. And so through prayer and by the Spirit, he would show me if there was something that needed to be dealt with. You know, an attitude, a heart condition, a false belief system. Okay? I'm not going to go into this right now. If you need to know more, false belief system is when you think you're walking according to a truth, and then you begin to bump into a wall over and over, and finally you say, what gives? Why am I coming into this barrier all the time, Lord? And suddenly you realize that you were walking according to a false belief system instead of the truth. And this is incredibly powerful. This is one of the most powerful things that can happen to you, because once you say, I'm exchanging the lie for the truth, suddenly there is no barrier. A lot of the stuff that we blame the enemy for actually is because we've got something, and it may not be rank sin, it may be wrong understanding. You know, it may be a false belief system that somehow has enabled him to have an inroad, or where we have a wound perhaps that he can keep rubbing the salt in. And you know, sometimes a thing like that will keep you stuck for years. But if you can learn the method of going to God in prayer and saying, God, show me what is the holdup, what is the issue? And there's nothing wrong with needing change. If your name isn't Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is you need to change. All of us have to change. If we're going to be, we say, oh Jesus, make me like you. But then if somebody says, well, I think you need to change that, our pride goes, well, I don't need to change. But the truth is, it's wonderful if we can embrace it and say, yeah, this is my process. I'm gonna start scrubbing. I'm going to go into prayer. I'm going to learn what needs to change because I want to be made like him. And when he pulls something out that doesn't belong, that area becomes a channel for his glory to move through. That area becomes an area in which you can flow the Spirit of God through to people. You can flow truth in that area. You can help people with the very area that you were having issues with. It's a huge thing. So the big thing is to begin to clear the land. Some of you, I mean, we're at all different phases of our life here, but clear the land. Get the stuff out, even if it's buried deep. And for some people, have the courage to even ask God, okay, I'm asking God, all right, Lord, what do I need to deal with? And don't try to do everything at once if you have a lot of issues. When I came to Christ, I had a bazillion issues. I mean, you wouldn't have recognized me, honestly. And I'm probably not done either, by the way. I don't know, you know, but I'm on my journey and I'm still always asking, Lord, show me what needs to change. And he's still able to sometimes show me, you know, that little attitude stinks, Holly. And then I work with it in prayer. I don't just say, oh Lord, I'm sorry, take that away. You know, I pray into it until that thing is changed in me. Because we're changed by the Holy Spirit from the inside out, aren't we? Not just because we pretend to change. Amen. We lay a foundation of the truth through prayer. Then we build the building. Once the land is cleared and we've laid a foundation, then we can build our building. And that becomes a fairly quick work because the hardest part, to be honest, was clearing the land. So when the Lord shows you an area in your life that needs to be transformed, it can be fear, it can be anger, it can be relational problems, anything that's not like Jesus, don't just confess and repent. Yes, confess and repent. Ask and say, oh God, push the magic change me button. Don't do that. But target it specifically with the Holy Spirit. Go after the thing. Say, Lord, I want you to help me. I want you to change that thing in me. And keep after it every day until it is changed. Amen? If you have several areas like I did, ask the Lord which one to deal with first. You know, don't tackle all 427 like I did. But he will show you, because some things can't be removed until the thing on top of it is removed. And he'll help you. And God never condemns you. He loves when you say, I'm ready to take this process, Lord. He loves that. Yay, somebody that wants to deal with their stuff. Thrilled with it. So we work through each issue until we are free and transformed. If it takes a while to get the breakthrough, I ask, is there something I'm missing? Is there something I need to see? Or is there any root cause that I need to deal with in my life? I won't drag you through this, but I had a problem that kept cropping up for some years. It would crop up and I would battle in the spirit and I would win and I'd say, yay, I won. And it'd go away for months. I'm talking about 6 or 8 months. And I would think, yahoo, I'm free. And then here it would come again. And I'd think, wait a minute, I thought I was delivered from that. And this went on for some years. And finally one day, I did this right here. I did what I should have done in the first place. And I sat in the kitchen and I said, Lord, what is wrong with me? Why do I keep having this problem? And the Lord gave me one sentence and he showed me the root cause. And I went, oh. And I didn't have to do warfare. I didn't have to pray and fast. I just said this one sentence, Lord, I am so sorry. You're right. I didn't realize that. I repent of that in the name of Jesus. And I never, in all these years, that was in my 20s, I've never had that problem, not even the thought of it, come again. So there's a way to be, you know, there's a way to overcome some of the stuff. Those are strongholds that whether we know it or not, somehow there's an inroad. Somehow it can be a wound. I didn't think we were going to go this deep into this, but if you want to go deeper, by the way, there's a set, that 8CD set, that focuses on getting free, staying free, and it's my journey into some of the baggage. I had a lot of baggage, so that's why I took 8CD. But so as we find the simple root, a lot of times He pulls the whole root out. Now you don't have to always be saying, "Oh Lord, I did it again, forgive me, thank you for your forgiveness and mercy." But it's much better that the thing is gone. That's deliverance to the uttermost. So I ask Him, is there something I'm not seeing, or is there any area where I'm not understanding the truth, or am I walking according to a false understanding? And I'm just fessing up today because I think it helps people to realize it's okay. It's okay to need to change. It's okay to deal with your stuff. But I even recently came into the understanding that I've been carrying a false belief system about the ministry for some years, and I kept bumping into a wall. And finally it was like, what? God, what? And He showed me that I had assumed some things about ministry. And so I was walking according. So we walk according to what we believe, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't sin. It was just a total misunderstanding. And it was wrong because it was an assumption on my part. Whoops. And the minute I saw it, I quickly repented, got rid of it. Felt really stupid. Because, well, I couldn't have seen that 20 years ago. But God never condemns about that. He's thrilled that you're willing to go there. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 3:11, He's talking about building in the Spirit. Amen. No man can lay a foundation other than the one that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Well, this is why it's really key that you build your building with the help of the Holy Spirit instead of trying to say, you know, a lot of people have a gifting from God, but then they take that gifting and they try to go do the ministry in the flesh. Well, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this. And they may have some success for a while, but they will begin to encounter barriers that they can't overcome, because that's wood, hay, and stubble. I believe that this is talking about don't build it with your flesh, because the wood, hay, and stubble, or wood, hay, and straw here, it's going to burn. On that day, it says the man will still be saved, you know, later on. It says he'll still be saved, but as by fire. So you get in, but your stuff is smoked because you did a building in the flesh or after your own. When I say in the flesh, I mean you're building it after your own thoughts, your own opinions and understandings, rather than saying, Holy Ghost, how do you want me to do this or how do you want me to do that? Which his stuff is gold, silver, precious stones, won't burn. The fire will only brighten it and glorify it, and it will stand when He builds something in your life or in the kingdom. It stands for all eternity as a glory to Him. After I went through a terrifically hard 8 years that I mentioned to you, I didn't know if I'd ever stand again. I didn't know if I'd actually live through it. I didn't think I would. But I was asking God, you know, have you ever felt like this? Did I go so far off the path, Lord, that I don't even know where the path is anymore? Did you ever feel like you somehow took the wrong fork and where do I go now? And God gave me a wonderful vision of a city with these buildings, but the buildings were gold and silver. They were, if buildings can be lovely, these were. And people were running to this city for help. They were running to this city for shelter. And it reminded me, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. So when you pray, the best way to learn to pray, we're going to talk a lot about how to do this, is to ask the Holy Spirit to help you pray. Let Him pray through you. And He is building things as He does that. Now here's a concept. Remember I told you my 10-year prayer assignment. I was in a church, not in this area, so you won't know the church. And I remember, and the pastor was a man of the word. He really knew the scriptures. But he had this one issue of, he loved the subject of healing. And so for 2 years, I was in the helps committees. And if you were in the helps committees, you had to be at church 3 times on Sunday and once on Wednesday. So he heard about healing, 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 and healing every week, which was great because you get pounded into you. But after about 2 years, I was like, okay, something else. And I was doing something you should never do, and I was complaining to God. It wasn't praying, I was complaining. And God rebuked me stiff. He said, it's your own fault you're in this boat right now. And I said, uh-oh. He said, if you prayed for that man like I told you to pray for that man, you wouldn't be in this boat right now. And furthermore, he said, there are some things in his life I've assigned you to pray through. And if you don't do it, it won't come to pass. So I began to get serious about praying for my pastor. Because he was a man with a good heart. Not all pastors have the kind of heart he had. He had a wonderful heart. But like all of us, he had his own issues. You know, he had some issues in his life. He'd been booted out of a church because he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And because of it, he'd gotten into some things, attitudes and stuff. But he needed prayer. There wasn't enough people covering him, and I wasn't either. I was complaining and whining. So one day, after getting serious about praying for the man, God gave me this phrase. He said, you build his building and I'll build yours. Well, now I'm getting serious about it. I hear words like those. Okay, God's going to build my building? Pfft, done deal. So I committed my life. And I thought I would be in that church till Jesus comes. And that church did not believe in women ministers. So I knew that I would never be allowed to minister there. And I wasn't. And in fact, there were a couple of years there where the man didn't like me. Hallelujah. But it didn't matter. My calling and assignment for that season of my life was to pray for his life and ministry. 10 years. And at the end of just short of 10 years, one day God said, okay, I'm releasing you. And it was almost hard for me to even receive it or believe it. It took me a while praying into it, even understand that God was now moving me to the next thing. And then God began to build my building. Now, there's a couple of wonderful things about this. When you seriously sow in prayer, praying for someone else, whenever you need prayer, all you have to do is say, Lord, raise me up someone to pray. And he will raise them up, and he'll usually tell you who they are. They'll call you, you're on my mind today, what's going on? So you can sow prayer for others, and when you need prayer, you can ask the Lord to raise others up to pray for you. God gave me a vision one time. He speaks to me in pictures, and I'm like a little kid, I need pictures, you know. But he showed me a picture. I was trying to get an understanding when we pray for souls or when we pray for the mission field. I was trying to get that understanding. And God showed me a picture of the earth, or like a surface of the earth, and he showed me a light or a lighter area coming from heaven and diffracting into the earth, but there were some areas it didn't go into. So there were certain areas that were occupied by the light of God and certain areas where his light had not been, but he wanted it to be. And he gave me that scripture, occupy till I come. Of course, occupy means to take the land. And he began to show me that through prayer we can begin to help, you know, because we're to pray for laborers and then pray for the laborers, right? So it's wonderful when you can send someone to the mission field and then cover them in prayer because they're facing the lions, right? We have people right here who are on the mission field every day of their life. They live to win souls. That's what they do all day, every day. That's what they do. Well, when you cover them, when you undergird them in prayer, you enable them to have divine encounters with the people that are ready to receive Christ. You enable them to have the words that need to be spoken. Okay, another building that the Bible talks about is the body of Christ is the Lord's temple that is being built up together. Ephesians 2:21, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Amen. So in the last day, I believe that what is happening is he is currently in process of building the church into something new, something we have not seen, but we've glimpsed it. We glimpsed it in the early church. We glimpse it in the Spirit when we pray, but we're being built together for an actual habitation of God in the earth so that people can see him in the church and they won't see us. Hallelujah. So the Lord has structures that he is trying to build for his kingdom too. And as we pray and lend, I like to call it lend yourself to the Lord in prayer. We have prayer meetings and we go in, and I don't go in with I don't have any preset idea what I'm going to pray for. Sometimes I have an idea. Quite often I'll go in and just submit myself to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? And just see where he wants to take it, what's on his heart. So I quoted this, but Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. That's what we should be looking for, is not our own deal. The enemy also sets up structures and buildings in the spirit. You can, through prayer, and especially if you gather together with friends, you can dismantle his structure. A structure, to me, from the enemy, is different than just an attack. An attack is when the enemy comes against you or tries to waylay something you're doing or tries to hinder you. And he does do that. And he's very good at it. But a structure in the spirit is where he actually will set something up. Let's say you've been moving in prayer for a while. Let's say you're an older believer and you're more mature in the things of the spirit. Let's say you're even ministering a lot. Let's say you're out ministering. Well, he knows that the stuff that worked on you 20 years ago won't work on you anymore because now you've gone past that. You're pretty shrewd. You know how to beat him up with the Bible. You don't even spend time on it. It is written. It is written. Boom, boom. You're dead, you know. So what he does is he begins to try to set you up, okay? And sometimes older and more mature believers will come into like a thing where it's like, what is going on? And one of the things he'll try to do is hide it or cloak it so you can't see it. Yeah, and you can, by the way, I just want to mention this. You cannot defeat this in the flesh, but you defeat it by the Holy Spirit. He will always help you win. He knows how to win. Every battle, every war.
Amen.
So the issue really is don't give up. Don't quit too soon. Keep going after the Holy Spirit. Keep going with him. What do I do? Show me what to do. And keep praying. He will win. Always. So here's an example. You might pray with somebody that's under attack. Sometimes because of that attack, they are confused. Sometimes we can come under attack that causes us confusion. They feel oppressed or out of sorts. They don't know why. God may, as you're praying, this is just an example, but we pray with a lot of people at the altar, and quite often we're dismantling an attack against that person. God may reveal a multifaceted attack. I'm just making this up, but let's say that they have prayer friends, but their prayer friends were busy with something. Their fellowship didn't meet that week. There was a family emergency, so they didn't have any time in the Word. It's a setup. It's not one attack, but it's a structure that the enemy has done to try to get the person pulled down, to either defeat them or at least steal time. One of his tactics is, if you're a strong person, he knows he can't totally defeat you, but he'll try to steal your time. So if he can put up a barricade that holds you up for 2 years because you're so busy trying to figure it out, or even 2 weeks, or even 2 days. But the better you get at prayer and hearing God, the more difficult it is for the enemy to get one over on you, and the quicker you can come out of it. And that's why prayer friends are important, because when you're the one under attack, sometimes somebody else needs to see and go, oh, I see this thing. And sometimes, even if you see really well and hear really well, sometimes you still need a friend. I have one friend I've been praying with for 30 years. And he was moving in the, he was one of the first people I ever saw. Him and his wife were moving in the Holy Ghost. And I would watch till 1 in the morning. They would pray with somebody and he'd see, you know, word of knowledge. You know, he would see things about their life. And then they would just start unhook. And so when I started moving in the word of knowledge, I called him and said, you know, I have some questions. But even if you're a person that sees well, sometimes when you're under attack, you need somebody else that sees well. And intercessors are very important. So when he's in trouble, he calls me. When I'm in trouble, I call him. God did that, though. God will set up your prayer. If you're serious about prayer, God will set up a network of relationships of people that will help you and that you help them. God will do that. You don't have to go out and look. You just ask him. Oh, I missed one. So let's say this person's under all this attack and somebody said something that was a hurtful remark. Now they're wounded too and they're going around with their all this junk on them. Amen? But you might look in the spirit, and to you, if you're a person that sees in the spirit, you may see, everybody sees differently, by the way. You won't see maybe the way I do, but you will learn how the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I tend to see in a picture in the mind's eye. But other people may not see it quite that same way. But they may sense, they may hear. I sometimes hear. But in the spirit, it may look a number of different ways. I've seen people that had like a black burlap sack over their head, so they couldn't hear. Well, I believe those are realities in the spirit. So in prayer, you pull the thing off and they're like, oh, thank you. You know, they don't know what you saw, and they don't always need to know what you saw. Sometimes I've seen like a hook in a person's back. trying to hold them back, trying to pull them back from going forward. You break it off and, oh, thank you. This is real stuff. I know some of you, if you've never heard this, you're like, ooh, you know, wacky. But the truth, this is the truth. We've seen too many people get free to question it. Amen?
That's true.
So the spirit realm is a real place. Heaven is a real place. It's more real than this place. But our awareness of it has not grown yet to the place where it should. Heaven should become more real to us than this right here. And I believe that's how Jesus Christ did everything he did. I believe he was a heavenly man, and he was very aware all the time of heavenly things. He was very aware of when there was angels and demons. He was very aware of what was going on in the realm of the spirit. He said, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. That's the same thing as saying, I only do what I see my Father doing in the spirit. I'm looking in the spirit to see what to do. That's how Jesus operated. And if we're going to operate like him, we have got to become a heavenly people. We have to understand heaven should not be a mystery to us. Jesus was practically, if you read it, he seemed a little unhappy with Nicodemus when Nicodemus was absolutely clueless about the things of the Spirit. And he came and said, you know, he asked him the question, John 3:3, Jesus talks about it. You must be born again. Nicodemus is like, what are you talking about? Jesus was talking about a spiritual concept of you being born into the realm of the Spirit. Do you understand that if you looked in the Spirit when somebody was being born again, you would see that?
Amen.
Do you understand that when you're born again, you have a born-again spirit in a real place that's visible? Why is it when Jesus showed up, whenever there was a devil, all the people, they were clueless. They didn't get who Jesus was, but the devils who operate in the realm of the Spirit, they took one look and they hit the deck and said, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Don't destroy us before the time. They took one look and said, that's the Son of God. Why? Because they saw him in the Spirit. But here we would be, Jesus could come walking in here, and most of the people in here would just go, I don't like that guy's coat. It's the truth. Some people come in here, they're so powerful in the Spirit, and others don't recognize it and disdain them because of natural things. God does not see that way.
Amen.
He does not. And we need to stop judging one another according to the outward man. Even our outward manifestation. Sometimes somebody may seem rough. Smith Wigglesworth was so rough, most people today would have not endured him in the church.
Amen.
I don't like the way he talks. He's just not nice.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be nice. No, we're not supposed to be nice. Jesus wasn't one bit nice. He said, you take proselytes and you make them twice as much the sons of hell as you are yourselves. How's that for nice? It wasn't nice, but he loved people enough to tell the truth. You see, we have to begin to judge like God does and not with this fleshy junk we've been doing. We need to be real careful about it. That was totally not my message. I'm on a roll. Okay, so we need to begin to deal with the reality of the Spirit. It's a real place. We need to come to understand, and the only way to do it is through prayer. That's the only way I know to do it. A lot of time spent in prayer sensitizes you to God's habitation. See, the Bible says God is spirit. And those who worship him or deal with him must do it in the spirit and in truth. Or we won't be able to deal with him. Do you speak spirit? Oh, I started to tell you about Nicodemus. I interrupted myself. So Nicodemus says, how can a man be born again? Will he go back into his mother's womb? Totally thinking in the natural, right? Jesus said, you are a master of Israel and you don't understand these things?
Amen.
You are a Pharisee, okay? The authority in the law. You know more about the law. You're the teacher of Israel, which is the only people on the face of the earth that's even in covenant with God, and you don't understand the things of the Spirit? That's what he was saying. He said, how will you understand heavenly things if I'm telling you earthly things and you don't get it? He expected that leader to understand the things of the Spirit. He expected it. When he said to Philip, he said, have I been with you so long and you haven't known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. He expected us to get it, and we didn't get it. And by the way, we still don't. The church is walking according to their carnal senses and failing, and this is the reason why. Hallelujah. But the good news, this can be learned by every believer. Every born-again believer. But it does take some grit, so you got to do it. You know, you got to spend some time. You must spend the time. God's buildings are meant to endure. So the enemies need, his buildings need to be dismantled, and sometimes it takes time. You may need to pray over the course of some days, but don't quit until you're done. Amen?
Okay.
Sometimes if a person has been the victim of a trap or setup, they can't see clearly enough to get free. Pray in the Spirit. If there are still issues, call someone to help. Sometimes a person that is outside the situation can see clearly what the real issue is. I had a friend call me who was related to the mayor of a town. The mayor was a born-again Christian, loved the Lord, but the town was full of witchcraft covens. It was also full of gang warfare. They were leaving blood sacrifices on the mayor's lawn, and the mayor was under so much attack they didn't know what to do. They had gathered four intercessors together, one of which was the mayor. Two of them had died, and the third was afflicted with a disease. So they said, we need help.
Amen.
They called this guy and said, what do we do? He said, I know some people that like to pray. Well, that was really wise, first and foremost, because we were outside the area of the attack. Okay? So we can see more clearly because we're not under it. Those poor folks had been barraged for years, just getting wailed on, right? So one of the things, God, years ago when I was young in the Lord, I might have just gone into intercession and prayed and warred and yelled loud and done all that stuff. I don't do that anymore. I do it, but not that way. Now what I do is I sit quietly and say, Holy Ghost, what do you want to do? What's up with this? Because sometimes the thing that needs to be done can be simply unhooked without all that falderal. Now sometimes there may be an intense burden or groaning or travail. And if there is, we do it. But sometimes he shows us some things to unhook in the realm of the spirit. We did just what he showed us to do, some simple things a child could do. Remember, we're like children. Just like children, we just do what you show us to do. We did some very simple things. We never really did go into what normal people would call intense warfare. Guess what started happening? The people began to be arrested. There were people on the police force that were involved. They had actually been taking the drugs that were confiscated and selling them. They got busted. There was a person on the town council. It all just started to come unglued. God did that. We don't take any credit for that. God showed us simple keys. Isn't that amazing? I find that amazing. But the biggest thing I wanted to say about that is sometimes get help from out of town. And then if you're the guy out of town that has to deal with it, one of the first things I like to do, I just plead the blood of Jesus a lot, because Satan can't do a thing to you with the blood of Jesus. I also go, I don't announce what I do. You know, not ever announce. Sometimes there's a temptation with young intercessors to be prideful about their intercession and to talk about it. Well, sometimes if you want to, you know, you don't necessarily want to announce to the whole town that you're going in to fight a battle. Sometimes you don't want anybody to see you in the realm of the spirit, okay? I don't want to go too deep for you, but God will hide you so that nobody knows even who took the bad guy out. This is a good thing, right? So we're to help one another and pray for one another. Isaiah 58, is this not the fast which I choose, says the Lord, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke? That's real in the spirit. When Jesus said to the demon, come out and do not tear her, I always thought that was odd, do not tear her, you know. But sometimes when I pray for people, what the enemy does is he actually, it almost looks like a metal hook or a metal piece. I could be wrong. This is just my impression, but it seems as though that could tear a person. And so sometimes I tell it to come out and never return and do no damage. You know, sometimes I speak to what I'm seeing and let the oppressed go free. So this is really what God loves, is when we help one another get free. Someone comes to the altar and sometimes they may have too much for you to deal with in one day. So all I do is say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? What are you doing for this person today? And then we unhook some stuff or whatever he says. That's good for today. Then maybe the next time it'll be something else. Oh, I didn't finish. And to break every yoke is the end of that scripture. Okay, I wanted to share a little story about, I don't know, some of you may have seen the transformation videos. There's one story on there that I just think is one of the best prayer examples. To me, it was just such an eye-opener. So bear with me if you've seen the show, but a couple was told by the Lord that their assignment was to go into a certain city in Africa that was known for witchcraft, and it was known to be a ministry graveyard. I mean, that means everybody that tried to go in there literally either lost their life, lost their ministry, or left town. They just weren't able to break through. And God tells this couple that this is their assignment, and they're like, oh, goody. So they did a very wise thing. They moved near the city, but outside the city, and just spent some time praying. Just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And then they got a release that it was okay to move into the city. They moved into the city, and they found a meeting place in a cellar. It was almost like a cave. It was pretty dark. And they began to gather a few people to worship and pray. And they began to pray for the city. And they started to assign a certain day of the week to certain of the intercessors. So maybe your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday. But on the person's day of the week, they would come under such severe attack. They would become ill. They would just get a fever, couldn't function. And the reason was the stronghold of that city was witchcraft. So they're fighting real devils who have people speaking word curses, releasing demonic crud, right? Well, we win. Right? But they weren't winning because people didn't know how to deal with it in the realm of the spirit. Amen? So this man and his wife, they spent time asking God, what do we do? And that's the key every time. God, what do we do now? What? Show me what to do now. The more often you ask that question, the more victorious your life will be. We have to be like children. What are you doing? What are we doing now, God? Show me what to do. How do I win this one, God? A lot of people try to use keys somebody taught them, but the key will never be the same in this situation as it might have been in that one.
No, it's like copying artwork.
It's like copying artwork. So what happened is they began to ask God continual questions. God revealed that there was a woman who was like the key player in the witchcraft. I think her name was Mama Jane or something like that. She had like a huge snake. Huge. Like something ridiculous, like 9 feet long. I don't remember. She, all the accidents, the crimes, rapes, and murders, if you looked at the statistics, more of them were closer to her house than anywhere else in town. So the closer you got to her house, the more the danger was, because she was open. She was like a gateway to the devil, right? So they began to pray, and they were praying for this woman, and they said, Lord, either she gets saved or she leaves. She became arrested. The cops came in, arrested her, killed the snake, removed her. The entire face of the town, the reason the transformation videos that documented it was because the whole town, they were actually documenting revival. The entire town became a place of great beauty. There's a waiting list of people to move there because it's so lovely. See, before it, a woman could not walk down the street at night without getting raped. There was drunkenness, there was murders, there was all these problems. Now it is a beautiful place that God has virtually taken over, but somebody had to go in. Now, why didn't God just push the button? Why didn't God just say, I want this to be my town? Well, the reason is, it's the same reason why isn't everybody saved. God has given us free choice.
Amen.
And so he will use man to do his works in the earth. He basically gave the earth to man, didn't he?
Yeah.